Good morning. Welcome to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Ryan Wangler in the studio today. Gary Bell's out of town. Ryan, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. It's nice to have you here. Ryan's an attorney in our office. We're Bell and Pollock. We've been around for 30 years, 35 years, serving the community, doing personal injury work. We're personal injury attorneys. We're here to take care of your personal injury needs. If you've been hurt in an accident, if you've been hurt as a result of the negligence of others, give us a call. It's our hope that when we talk to you, we'll be able to furnish you with a legal game plan. You can then decide whether or not you want to hire an attorney, whether you want to try and go at your own, what game plan you have to follow and how you want to do it. We're known as Bell and Pollock, or you can always reach us as Champions of the People on the website. You can call us at 303-795-5900. We've been doing this Sunday morning show for years. We also do a Saturday morning call-in show. You're welcome to talk to us by calling our office, also 303-795-5900. We have an interactive website, so you can always get us on the website. Sundays, we usually talk about some area of law, some particular portion of law, usually that has some basis or lends itself to personal injury cases that might be relevant to you with regard to how your life is and what you're doing in your life and what you might face as consequences in your life. We are a week away from the Halloween time period, so we're going to have kids out on the street. They're going to be walking around. Remember, if you're driving, you have some liability. You have some consequences. You know, it goes without saying, Ryan, that if you've been drinking and driving, don't drive.
That's absolutely right. That's for all the time, though, not just Halloween.
That's exactly right. But what we worry about with Halloween is you're getting into your residential neighborhood. You're going to have kids, even outside the residential neighborhood, as they go from one development to another. You're going to have kids out there doing things. And this is a weekend Halloween. So you've got the problem where people are going to be out there. Remember certain ages. We talked about this. You can get the program off our website. So go to the program. We did it 2 weeks ago, gave everybody plenty of notice. You've got a heightened duty and responsibility when these kids are out at Halloween. The certain ages, kids are not responsible for bolting into the street. Also, as we've talked about the fact of attractive nuisances. We've talked about what you want to do as a parent overseeing the kids. You know, Ryan, we talked about the fact if you're a parent and you're taking four or five kids around trick-or-treating, you've got some responsibilities.
Yeah, that's a big responsibility. I remember just last year there was a group of maybe three adults and a dozen kids walking through my neighborhood, and this one kid was walking all over my new landscaping that I hadn't quite finished, and it really scared me, to tell you that. I figured I would be liable for anything that might happen to that kid.
Check your property, see what they're going to do. I talked to, you know, Ryan, it's funny you say that, because I talked about the fact I have a little pond in my front yard, and I give all sorts of notices and light that thing up, because these kids, when they're trick-or-treating, they're cutting across yards. Don't think, well, they shouldn't be cutting across yards. They're going to cut across yards. So they're going to cut across yards. Get the dangerous conditions out of the way. Talked about whether or not what classification they are, if you have your light on versus you have your light off. Whether or not you're inviting them to come up and get candy or get a treat from you. If you have light off, what that means. And if that means, no, I'm not handing out candy, then do they become trespassers? Are they not supposed to be on your property? Different duties. So listen to our show. Go back and listen to it. It's important. At Bell and Pollock, we care about the following things. Number one, we care about injured persons, and we prefer people not get injured. That's not what we want. Yes, we make a living helping injured persons, but it's not what we want. So if we can avoid the injury to begin with, we'd like to do that. Second thing we care about is making sure that you have enough insurance and you have enough protection that if you've caused somebody to be hurt, you're protected. And we want to make sure the person who got hurt is protected. But let's talk a little bit about guns. Today we're talking about guns. We're going to do a quick overview on what a dangerous weapon is and what that's all about. And then we're going to go into the Make My Day or Retreat law. Ryan, dangerous weapon. We have a classified felony to possess a dangerous weapon. What do we mean by dangerous weapon?
Dangerous weapon is anything, it's got a silencer on it, a machine gun, a sawed-off shotgun, a short rifle, or even a ballistic knife.
So those are classified felonies. Don't possess them. You're not allowed to possess them. You know, we talk about a little bit about what happens when you do possess them, or why you have them, or what you can do with them. The best thing is just don't possess them. If you do possess them, if you have one, if you own one, and you want to continue possessing it, I would suggest you get in touch with your local sheriff. Understand when you say, well, if I get in touch with them, the sheriff's going to make me give it up. Well, you know, it's classified felony versus giving it up. Or take a look at whether or not, if you've got it stashed away, you got to figure out. And I would suggest you contact a lawyer for more specific information as to whether or not you can be grandfathered in. The reason I do that is because when we go to large capacity magazines, we do know we have special rules with those. Right, Ryan?
Absolutely. Just not too long ago, 2 years ago, state passed a law that large capacity magazines are no longer allowed. I think at that time it was a large capacity magazine was considered anything with 21 or more rounds. Now it's down to 15.
Right. So when you're talking 15 rounds, now there are certain rules with respect to large capacity magazines where you are grandfathered in. If you've owned one, if you owned one at the time, you're allowed to keep it. You're allowed to keep it, but you can't transfer it. You can't give it to anybody. You can't, once you're done with it, it's got to be destroyed, or you can't have it in this state at least.
And the rationale behind this law, you know, this came out after the Aurora Theater shooting. The rationale is taking away someone's gun rights, the right to carry a gun, is different from taking away their need to reload. In a situation like a mass shooting, having a maximum number of rounds that you can have in a gun at one time is imperative to decrease the amount of people that are killed in these situations.
Now, I know, and we're not a political show. In our call-ins, we're not a political show. We're not a political show here. So we don't make a statement as to whether it's right or wrong, whether it makes sense or doesn't make sense, what should or shouldn't be the law, and how it might or might not be changed. That's not our job in this radio show. If you want to do that, there's other radio shows that talk about that, and we'll discuss it with you. But we're here to talk to you about the law and to talk to you about where your protections are and where your protections are not. If you need further information, feel free to call us 303-795-5900. Get on our website, bellpollock.com, championsofthepeople.com. We're happy to talk to you. We're happy to discuss things with you. We're happy to get you to more sophisticated and more specialized people. If that's the situation, we're happy to be go-betweens. If you need to find out information and you don't want the sheriff in your area or the police to necessarily know what's going on, to the extent we can do that legally, we do it. We'll stay within the law. But the bottom line is you can't have these large capacity magazines. And the bottom line is if you do have them and you can show your grandfathered in, you've got restrictions, folks. That's all there is to it. And I'm not going to say whether it's right or wrong. I'm going to say what the bottom line is. If you have it, you have to be careful on what you're doing with it. And if, you know, for you, if you're out there and you think, well, I'm going to pass this on to my son or daughter, right now the law is that you can't do that. So I want you to make sure you're aware of that and you understand it. Okay, now we have a prohibited use of weapons, Ryan, and we talk about that a little bit, and we talk about, maybe we ought to talk a little bit about the regulation of firearms and local governments. What do you know? Let's talk about databases for local governments. What's the requirement, Ryan?
So local governments just can't have any database on people who purchase firearms or sell firearms. This is something that is absolutely not allowed at the local government level.
So remember that the local government, if you're talking to them, if you're trying to find out information, you know, we talked last week about the fact that the transporting guns in a car, that we have the state laws, and really, basically, basically, not entirely, but basically municipalities aren't allowed to legislate something different than what the state law is. Because you have to be able to drive with your gun across municipalities in a state without being, or in this state, without being subject to no criminal sanction in one place and being legal, and then all of a sudden being illegal, and then all of a sudden being legal, and then being illegal.
And the exception to that, though, is open carry. Open right. carry can be different from municipality to municipality. For instance, in Denver, in the city and county of Denver, you can't have open carry.
Absolutely. So if you're going to strap that gun on your side, or if you're going to hold it in your arms and go walking along, that's a different rule. But as far as concealed weapons, they try to make it as uniform as possible. Now, we do have the situation of prohibited use of weapons, right? And we have a class two misdemeanor for certain prohibited use. Then we go to felonies. What's the rules?
Can't aim it at another person knowingly or unlawfully. You can't take that firearm and discharge it recklessly or with criminal negligence, meaning, you know, you can't fire it into the air or fire it into a building. You can't possess the firearm when you're under the influence of alcohol or a controlled substance. You can't be on drugs or booze. Even if you have a permit, a concealed carry permit, you still can't hold that gun if you're under the influence. And you also can't leave a loaded gun sitting around unattended.
So there you go. Those are class two misdemeanors. Now that's punishable by jail, folks. And don't believe a judge might not give it to you. Now you have class five felonies. Where are those, Ryan?
Class five felony, to knowingly or recklessly discharge a firearm into a dwelling or other building or into a motor vehicle if there's a person in it. Unless, of course, it's a police officer.
Right. And then they can do that. And, of course, if it's within the scope of their authority, if it's outside and they're performing their duties, if it's not outside, then there can be responsibility. Okay, we're going to come back. And when we come back, we're going to talk about this overview of the use of deadly force, retreat. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the laws and rules that apply to that. You're listening to the Bell and Paul Kliegel Show. We're here to talk to you about your rights, about what protections you have. We're personal injury lawyers in our day lives. We've been doing that for 35 years. We will protect you and we will help you if you've been hurt in an accident. If you've been hurt as a result of the negligence of another, you can call us at 303-795-5900 or contact us at bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back.
Ready for an extraordinary lunch? As fast or as slow as you want it, with all fresh ingredients? Caitlin's Restaurant has it all. Express lunches that won't keep you waiting, or if you prefer, lunch served in that old-fashioned homemade style. All made fresh, on the spot. Whether it's a fresh-made sandwich with homemade chips, quesadilla loaded with cheddar or jack cheeses, or scratch-made soups, you'll find everything you love at Caitlin's. Caitlin's is located on Mississippi, just east of Colorado Boulevard, next to Bookies. How about green chili chicken stew? Think about a variety of fresh-made sandwiches or 11 different kinds of burgers made to order with 1/2 pound of the finest USDA choice lean ground beef. You might favor a homemade New Mexican recipe with carne adobada burritos, chicken enchiladas, carnitas burritos, served with hash browns, special recipe beans, cheeses with guacamole, and your choice of homemade red or green chili sauces. For those who prefer the lighter side, there are fresh made salads and lighter fares. Sure to delight. Try Caitlin's for lunch or breakfast on Mississippi, just east of Colorado Boulevard, next to Bookies. Call 303-798-6600. You'll love it every bite of the way.
Injured and confused? Confused about your injuries? Confused about the insurance company? Confused about which attorney to hire? So let's talk about attorneys. Let's get real clear on attorneys. I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell & Pollock. You get to choose your attorney. So how do you choose? Experience? Yes. Handles only injury cases? Yes. Someone the insurance company knows? Yes. And respects? Of course. Attorneys who have been very successful representing their clients? Yes. Attorneys who don't deal in a hodgepodge of everything? Only injury cases? Mandatory. Attorneys who know all the tricks of the insurance company? Absolutely. Welcome to the law firm of Bell & Pollock. We do injury cases. We're known as the champions of the people. For a reason, we champion people's causes and legal cases. Our website is championsofthepeople.com. For a reason. The reason is you. Come to championsofthepeople.com and see what that choice can do for you. Life has choices. Make your choice count. championsofthepeople.com. There really isn't any other choice.
Welcome back to the Bell and Paul Kliegel Show. Brad Pollock, Ryan Wangler in studio. You can contact us at 303-795-5900. Now we talk about, in this show, we're going to talk about use of force and deadly force, use of firearms to protect yourself. Now we're going to give you general overview of the law. We're not here to play criminal defense lawyers. We're personal injury lawyers. We're here to try and talk about what protections you have, when you could be liable, when you could be in trouble, when you couldn't be in trouble. And we're also here to help you if you've been hurt in any manner, in any way, from the negligence of another. Give us a call, 303-795-5900. We thought it was important to address this. There's a lot of things going on with respect to firearms. And so although this is really outside our area of personal injury, we thought it's really important that we give you some idea of what the laws say, not what our opinions are, what the laws say. And Ryan, when we start talking about the use of force and deadly force, what's the general overview to begin with?
So deadly force is defined as force, the intended natural and probable consequence of which is to produce death and which does actually cause death. So what that means is the intended natural and probable consequence. This is a pretty narrow view of what deadly force might mean. It means that you actually have to intend to kill someone.
Right. So what's your intent? They're going to talk about your intent. Now, in criminal law, everything centers around intent. It can be a lesser offense if the intent is not there versus if it is there. But this starts with what the intent is. Okay. And what do we talk about when a person may use deadly force against another generally?
So when a person is allowed to use deadly force, it's when you can use deadly force against another to the degree the person reasonably believes that less force is not going to suffice. And that person has a reasonable belief that they or another person is in imminent danger of being killed or receiving great bodily injury.
All right. So we start with one, deadly force. Now I'm not talking about in your homes right now. I'm talking about the use of deadly force. And you start with, do you believe, you have a reasonable belief that you or another person is in imminent danger of being killed or receiving great bodily injury? Okay. Killed, imminent danger. Now that's such a wide scope when you start talking about it, right?
Yeah. Imminent danger of receiving great bodily injury. So even if, you have to believe it, you have to think that someone might be in danger right away, imminent, meaning right now, not a threat that might be in the future, but right now, of receiving a great bodily injury or even being killed. So,
yeah, and the imminent danger or the great bodily injury does not have to be the other person has a weapon. It could be the person's going to beat somebody up. It's going to be that the person's going to hit them with a baseball bat or with a stick or with some other item. It does not necessarily mean that they have to be holding a gun that they're pointing at somebody. So let's start with that. We start with that situation where we believe and then also you have to believe that a lesser degree of force is inadequate. You can't do it any other way. So remember that, could you have disarmed them? Could you have done something else? Could you have stopped them in another manner? Then that may not be the use or allow you to use deadly force. Now, what else, Gert Ryan? What other things do we have to consider? Well, let's talk about when a person is occupant of a dwelling.
Okay, if you're inside a dwelling, it's your dwelling. I guess it doesn't necessarily have to be your dwelling. You're in a dwelling, and an assailant has made an unlawful entry into that dwelling. A dwelling is your home. It can be your hotel room. It's where you're staying. And there's a reasonable belief that this person that's coming in is committing or has already committed a crime against anybody or any property in that dwelling.
And
that the assailant might use physical force, no matter how slight, against an occupant of the dwelling, any occupant of the dwelling.
Okay. So I'm sleeping in my house at night. I'm sleeping in my hotel room at night. I'm sleeping in the cabin I rented at Estes Park at night. Somebody enters the place. I have to have a reasonable belief. I have to believe that they're going to make a crime against either the property or the people inside my cabin. That's number one. Okay, you're going, well, why else would they be there? Well, maybe it's somebody who stumbled in and got the wrong cabin. Maybe it's somebody who for some reason is entering in and it's not to commit a crime. Maybe they're running from somebody. Maybe they're trying to be safe, and maybe they're in danger. And then the next thing I've got to do is I've got to believe that they're going to use physical force against somebody in that house. Remember that. Now you're going, well, you know, obviously if they're in there, they're probably going to be using physical force. I think that probably makes sense.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty broad definition. A reasonable belief that someone who comes in, regardless if they got the wrong cabin, you don't know what someone's intention is when they're coming in. So you have a reasonable belief once they're already in that they are probably going to hurt somebody if they come across them.
So it all triggers. Now, you know, a lot of it's going to be, what are they saying as they're coming in? Help me, I'm in trouble. Or have they snuck in? Why are they walking in the door? You know, what's going on? Did they knock first and they're saying, I need in right now? Or, you know, what's the reason? But that all those circumstances are going to be looked at, you know, and, you know, you've got to determine. Now, if somebody's coming in and is committing a burglary, you're sleeping at night and you hear out in the living room or you're out in the kitchen or you hear wherever you're at, even if you're in the hotel room, and you hear somebody going through the pockets or going through the suitcase or committing a burglary, now you're in the situation where deadly force can be used. That's the way it works. And there's nothing else to be said about that. Now, what if a person, if there's a lesser degree of force is inadequate, what if the person can disarm the person breaking in, or they can solve the problem with a lesser degree of force?
If a lesser degree of force is going to cut it, then you have to use that lesser degree of force. Now, that has some caveats. That doesn't apply in every situation. If they're coming into your house, then you have a wider leeway to use that deadly force. If it looks like the assailant is about to commit a burglary, there's a person that's entering the dwelling of another, the intent to commit a crime.
There you go. Now that then you can use your deadly force. Now, if you see somebody, or if you're watching somebody and you're seeing something happen where they're about to commit a kidnapping, a robbery, aggravated robbery, even a sexual assault or an assault against you or another person, or not in your house, they're about to do that, can you use deadly force?
You can only if a lesser degree of force is inadequate.
So now you're talking about I'm walking down the street and I'm seeing something going on. I'm aware of something. You're on campus at school and you see something going on. And you realize, wait a minute, that's not appropriate. That's not what's happening. Now you're talking about using about whether or not you're going to be able to use deadly force. And one of the questions that you're going to be presented with is, could a lesser degree of force be adequate to stop what was about to happen?
And this is going to be a little bit different from what we were talking about earlier with intent. This doesn't require intent. This is going to be looked at from a reasonable person standard.
There you go. Now, let's talk about a duty to retreat. Ryan, is there a duty to retreat in Colorado?
No. If there's Colorado law allows deadly force in defense of yourself or another without having to first retreat.
It's been decided in court of law that you don't have to retreat. Now, what do you mean by retreat? You don't have to run. You don't have to hide. You don't have to get away. You can use, you're entitled to use deadly force in self-defense. Okay. And if that self-defense is even while you're retreating, you can use it if you think it's necessary. You do not have to necessarily, and you don't have to retreat before using deadly force. So it's kind of like this is what we call, I think, the Make My Day laws is what we're dealing with. Okay. And the reason you hear me say, I think, because everybody has a different definition when you hear Make My Day laws. What we're talking about is the law of whether or not you need to use force and whether you need to retreat.
There are some requirements for this law too.
And let's talk about them.
So you have to believe, that you're facing an imminent threat, in order to use in order to not have to retreat, you also have to not have provoked the unlawful use of force from the other person. You can't have been the initial aggressor unless, and this gets tricky, unless you clearly communicated that you were withdrawing from the conflict. And the last one is you had to not have agreed to unlawful combat. I suppose we're talking about dueling or...
Well, it might be. And you know, it's the two guys who are in a bar and they start talking too loud and they decide they're going to take this outside and resolve it. And they go outside to start punching at each other. Well, you know, one of them doesn't have a right to necessarily pull out a gun or a knife and kill the other person.
Right.
We're not taught, you can't use deadly force. Even if you're losing, the fight, you can't do it. Now, if you say, okay, I give. You know, I lose. I'm done. Or maybe even if you're winning, you say, okay, I give. I'm done. We're through. And you've communicated the fight's over and the person keeps coming at you. Now there's a different standard. And so that's another situation where you've got to be understanding that a lot of people are going to want to look at the circumstances of what's going on. They're going to want to know what's happening when you're involved with regard to the fight. Now, let's say the fight's going on and somebody jumps in for protection of another. You can use deadly force if, in fact, it's justified. You can use deadly force if there's a theft going on, criminal mischief, criminal tampering. If it escalates into a killing, a burglary, a robbery, or some other situation where deadly force is justified.
Right. So this won't actually apply to property, unless again we're talking about being in your own dwelling. So if you're trying to protect the property of others, you can use force, but it has to be commensurate to what's going on, and deadly force is not going to be permissible.
You're listening to the Bell and Paul Legal Show, 303-795-5900. We are personal injury attorneys. We want to help you with respect to your personal injury case. We want to help you with respect to your injury. If you've been injured, if you've had a problem, if you've been injured by the negligence of another, call us. We'll help you put together a legal game plan. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back to wind this show up. You can call us at 303-795-5900 or reach us at bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back.
Ready for an extraordinary lunch? As fast or as slow as you want it? With all fresh ingredients? Caitlin's Restaurant has it all. Express lunches that won't keep you waiting. Or, if you prefer, lunch served in that old-fashioned homemade style. All made fresh, on the spot. Whether it's a fresh-made sandwich with homemade chips, quesadilla loaded with cheddar or jack cheeses, or scratch-made soups, you'll find everything you love at Caitlin's. Caitlin's is located on Mississippi, just east of Colorado Boulevard, next to Bookies. How about green chili chicken stew? Think about a variety of fresh-made sandwiches or 11 different kinds of burgers made to order with 1/2 pound of the finest USDA choice lean ground beef. You might favor a homemade New Mexican recipe with carne adobada burritos, chicken enchiladas, carnitas burritos, served with hash brown special recipe beans, cheeses with guacamole, and your choice of homemade red or green chili sauces. For those who prefer the lighter side, there are fresh made salads and lighter fares. Sure to delight. Try Caitlin's for lunch or breakfast on Mississippi, just east of Colorado Boulevard, next to Bookies. Call 303-798-6600. You'll love it every bite of the way.
Injured and confused? Confused about your injuries? Confused about the insurance company? Confused about which attorney to hire? So let's talk about attorneys. Let's get real clear on attorneys. I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell and Pollock. You get to choose your attorney. So how do you choose? Experience? Yes. Handles only injury cases? Yes. Someone the insurance company knows? Yes. And respects? Of course. Attorneys who have been very successful representing their clients? Yes. Attorneys who don't deal in a hodgepodge of everything? Only injury cases? Mandatory. Attorneys who know all the tricks of the insurance company? Absolutely. Welcome to the law firm of Bell and Pollock. We do injury cases. We're known as the champions of the people. For a reason, we champion people's causes and legal cases. Our website is championsofthepeople.com. For a reason. The reason is you. Come to championsofthepeople.com and see what that choice can do for you. Life has choices. Make your choice count. championsofthepeople.com. There really isn't any other choice.
Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock and Ryan Wangler, we've been talking to you about gun permits, gun laws, and we've also been talking to you about the use of deadly force, the Make My Day laws, and the duty to retreat. It's a little bit outside our personal injury lives. We're personal injury attorneys. We will take care of you if you've been hurt in any way, shape, or form by the negligence of another. We will help you in what degree of help will depend on you and where you want us to go with it. If you've been hurt, give us a call. We'll give you a legal game plan. You can call us at 303-795-5900 or reach us on the internet at bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com. Ryan, with respect to what we've been talking about today, the Make My Day law, the duty to retreat, what bit of advice would you want to leave people with to understand what should be happening?
Well, the best way to protect yourself is, you know, from getting into a legal problem here is to do everything you can to avoid using deadly force in the first place. This is not something that we think about ahead of time. Most of the time, this is not, we don't have plans of action written on our walls like we do for fire escapes or things like that. But this is something that people need to address, that you need to think about, and think about what you're going to do when you get in that situation. You need to think about it ahead of time. You might be thinking about what's going on if someone tries to break into your house. But when you're caught in a situation out in the world, this is not something that you have been prepared for. So we need to think about all this stuff and also think about just because the law says one thing or another, you still have to convince a jury of it.
So be careful. Pay attention. If you're going to carry around a gun, understand what your rights are, understand what you can and can't do with that gun. If you're going to have a loaded gun at home, make sure you understand what you're doing there. Make sure you understand what your rights are. If you need more information or if you want to be further protected, contact an attorney. You've been listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. You can call us at 303-795-5900. You can reach us, bellpollock.com, championsofthepeople.com. We're going to be back next Sunday to talk to you next Sunday about uninsured motorist rights, underinsured motorist rights, and what you can do to protect yourself. In the meantime, please stay safe, have a good holiday, and we'll talk to you next week.